Thank you all so much. It's nice to see you.
Next, we have Prachi Shingra from
Zenless. Hi. Hi. Many of you may have seen me last school year, technically with my brother. So the school year kicked off and it's going super well. So this week we have our, similar to what Annalise said, we have Link Who at So High, and we have a Link Who set up during lunch. So it's kind of for new students and freshmen to come out and just eat lunch with their Link Who leaders if they want someone to hang out with or just want to spend more time with their Link Who leaders, because they're great. And we also have lunchtime activities all day this week, just so we can, again, like, encourage that school participation and grow that community that we're really trying to work for this year. And we set them up so even if you're alone, you can still participate in them. So it doesn't have to be with friends. You can just come out, win a prize, and just, like, stay for, like, even longer and hang out with some of the ASB kids. So along with that, we've been welcoming our freshmen even more with some of these cards that we sent out last week. So they're basically welcome back cards, and we have a booth set up before school, during break, and lunch. So if they show us that card, they get to spin this wheel and they win a free spirit prize. Again, it's just to increase that sense of school spirit and just really make them feel a part of So High, especially since they're freshmen. So that's what's been going on. And this year, especially on the first day of school, I thought it was really cool that we started this number matching activity. So basically, we set up outside before school and we like just were at the entrances and we gave everyone these stickers. So for example, if I got one and Annalise got one, we'd try to find each other, and then whoever found their matching person got a free spirit prize. So it was just a cool way to like meet new people and just have a friendly face on campus, especially if you're new. So yeah, so school's off to a good start, and the rest of the school year is going to be great. So excited.
Thank you so much. So we know that you're busy with back to school activities. You are, as always, welcome to stay, but if you need to get on and do what you need to do at home or elsewhere, please feel free to do it.
Thank you so much.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Next, we have correspondence, and the board did receive a letter from a community member regarding the use of Roundup on our school campuses. And at this time, item 6.02 is public comment, and this is a time for people, the public may address the board on any item of interest within the board's purview. If you wish to address us on a topic that is on the agenda, you can either wait until that agenda topic comes up or address us now. You have 3 minutes in which to speak, and we have a timer to help you with that. If there are materials you wish to present to the board, you may do that as well. So at this time, I would ask if there's anyone from the public wishing to address the board. So we will move on to business and budget, or superintendent's updates, beginning with business and budget update.
And if it's okay, Mr. President, I just want to tackle a couple items that I think I'd like the board's input on. It has to do with previously calendared board meetings coming up, that there was a couple oversights that I just wanted to get your feedback on. One is September 18th actually falls on the holy day of Yom Kippur. And for those that this impacts, at sunset of that particular holiday, Jewish holiday, that's when that particular practice begins. So given that, I would like to acknowledge that there is that conflict. So if it would be okay with the board, we could move the start of that board meeting earlier in the afternoon, perhaps to 3:30 or 4 o'clock, and then we'd be done by sunset, allowing those who wish to participate those that who are, observe that holiday could still practice or participate on the in the board meeting, or at least participate in the board meeting. So September 18th, if you'd be willing and in agreement, we could move the start of that board meeting to 3:30, if that's okay with the board.
Do we have consensus on the board to adjust the calendar in that regard?
Yeah.
That's good.
Mark. Yeah, I'm shaking my head. Sorry.
Okay.
Changing my calendar.
All right.
Okay. Thank you.
And then there's a meeting on November 20th that happens to fall during Thanksgiving holiday break, and I'm presenting it to the board for those of you that are going to be out of town. It's a big family week, but I'm putting it to you. Do you want to maintain that meeting on Tuesday night, Thanksgiving Thursday, or would you wish to cancel?
Is school on break that whole week, so it would impact administration and people we rely on for?
Correct.
Okay. Well, that makes sense. That makes a difference.
It does.
So, and then the following week is CSBA, is that correct? So we would be...
Our next meeting would be December. We would have a meeting November 6th, and then December 4th would be our next meeting. So, and I will tell you, it's calendared, it's scheduled, and staff will make the necessary accommodations to maintain the meeting as calendar. I'm just putting it forward as something that you might consider.
As a concerned citizen.
As a concerned citizen, yes.
I will turn to the board. Anyone?
Well, I don't want to put pressure on the staff. I'd like to keep that meeting, but you know, I also realize that plans may have been made. So, I'm waiting to hear.
No, I will be here. We will staff the meeting. We will be here if it's the interest of the board.
Please speak up. I just think that's inappropriate. There's the staff and their families, but there's also the public gone. So I think it would be not good for the public, not good for staff. So I'd either like to cancel or reschedule.
And I may not be here, so I wonder about having a forum. I don't know what other board members' plans are.
Well, it seems we're kind of neutral about it.
I can live with it.
I won't be here either.
Okay. Well, then. Okay. If Walter's not here, what's the sense of having a meeting?
It's a good opportunity. There's still a quorum. If Chris were,
it's not televised.
Well, I'm trying to recall what we've done in the past, and I think we have not.
We've typically had one meeting in November.
That's what I'm recalling.
And this year we're having two meetings in December.
Good.
It's where CSBA falls.
Right.
Okay.
And so CSBA becomes that last whole week of November,
right,
following Thanksgiving.
And then we have a meeting immediately.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So we have a consensus to cancel the meeting
November 20th.
Currently scheduled for November 20th.
Okay. And we'll communicate that appropriately.
Okay.
Yeah, right. Thumbs up.
All right. Are we done with calendar?
Yes.
Do you have anything? Oh, so that's your report.
Yep.
All right. educational services.
And I still get to know my turn.
Oh.
He's cutting off my.
Oh, that's right. This is the budget. Yeah.
So a couple of things. In response to the public comment regarding Roundup at the school, so I have a site for the board to know to do a follow-up with this. This has actually been a conversation that we've been having at our site, which is a JPA for our JPA, joint powers with all the districts in the county that do our workers' comp, and then they also help us with all of our, safety planning and so in this case, integrated pest management plans. So in light of this, I've asked Mike McGuire, who leads that, to kind of go back in, check, talk to me about this. And so he's been inquiring with different agencies, districts throughout the state of California to see what they do, how this works, as well as with the state of California in terms of formal, you know, guidance. So at some point in the future, I'll report back to the board, kind of get that information and share with you kind of where we're headed and what this looks like. Any impacts with that? So that's the roundup. I was fortunate enough to take Dr. Prater on a tour of a lot of schools on the first day of school, so it's a smooth, you know, it just goes back, you know, we have great staffs, we have great principals, we have great new principals in the district taking over for some excellent people that have retired for us, and you can just see it, right, as you go around and you see the sites. And it was interesting, at Baywood Elementary School in particular, they had written down Ms. Stevens, the new principal there, but they had written down every single student's name on the front walkway as kids came into the school. Just super cool, right? I mean, just really fun. The kids look for their names, she described those types of things. So just little things like that, right? That, again, open doors and, you know, just give kids a positive experience. So that was really fun just to go around and see all that. We are working on the Siegel issue at Morro Bay High. I just want people to know that. We haven't forgotten. I don't know how it's got. When I first got here 7 years ago, 6 years ago now, the Siegel problem is not this bad.
No, it's
bad. There's no way that it was as bad as it is right now in the last couple of years. So we tried our best to kind of do it in a non-toxic manner. We're still using a non-toxic manner, right, in terms of the birds, but we have to let the birds be able to fly. So the baby seagulls that are there now, we have to wait until they're mature enough that they can fly. And once that happens, we'll go back to the campus, and we're working with Mr. Bonin to, you know, some power spray, power wash, doing some things like that for the campus. So it will get better, I promise you. We're going to get to that point. Other than that, we have enrollment coming in. So I've been charged with class size and enrollment and schools, and you know, we've tightened up at our elementary sites. We're pretty tight at our middle school and high schools, and so there are some abnormalities at some of the grade levels that you see, right, when you have 29 kindergarten or 58 kindergartners and you have 46 first graders and you have four teachers. So you have 229s in K and 223s in first grade, so you don't have combination classes, or, you know, so there's some tough things in terms of looking at it. So Rick Mayfield, Tim McGrath will be working with those principals about supports for those staff members, so we'll be talking to them, you know, figuring out ways that, you know, for those abnormalities to keep combos away where they let class sizes get high, what are ways that we can support teachers? So I just want you to know, if you hear those things, we are working on it. We are trying to support teachers as we go through this process and, you know, deal with, again, having small schools where it's hard to break up classes. That's right.
Are those where, at the schools where those issues are occurring, are the decisions whether to have larger and smaller classes or combo classes site-based decisions that the teachers participate in?
Yes.
Thank you.
So that's my business up there.
Okay. Before we move forward, Dr. Eisenbrecht-Rogers pointed out that in her great job as clerking here that I skipped over the consensus on the order of business. So I'm assuming we're good with it since we are rolling along.
Yes.
I don't want to change it. Thank you. Did you catch anything else? Yeah, okay. Okay. I've been approved. All right. Educational services update. Are we ready? Yes.
I am happy to introduce some new administrators to you today. So you know Chris Jones from being assistant principal at Morro Bay High School, and he is now our principal at Pacheco Elementary.
And you know Aaron Black as well as being an assistant principal at Slope High, who's now our principal at C.L. Smith. You also know Jennifer Dinelli well as our previous principal at Baywood, who's now our principal at Los Osos Middle School. I did invite our new administrators that you may not be quite as familiar with to tonight, so I'd love for you to come forward to the podium. And so tonight we have Lisa Stevens, who has been a fantastic teacher and instructional coach at Pacheco, and we're super fortunate that she accepted the position at Baywood Elementary, and we know she'll do an amazing job there. We have Jessica Miller, who is also a teacher and former instructional coach, who is now an assistant principal at San Luis Obispo High School. We have Heather Contreras, that we're fortunate enough to have enticed into this area, so came to us from a larger district in Fontana, and we're so happy to have Heather, as well as Jeff Cadwallader, who came to us all the way from Colorado. So both Heather and Jeff are new assistant principals at Miller Bay High School. Super happy to have all four of them in these new roles.
Welcome.
For them to share. Yeah. Oh, we would love for you to share a couple of words.
We're going to do messaging here. Just share just a quick little aha from your first experiences 2 days at school. Feel free.
Sure. Okay. Sorry. So I taught in the elementary level before this, fourth, fifth, and sixth grade. And I was a little nervous about the high schoolers. Got there on my first day and have made many comments already to the high schoolers. Like, okay, so this is something my sixth graders would do. Come on, like, you got this. And they're like, yeah, we haven't changed much, Mrs. Miller. Same kind of thing, which is making me feel very comfortable.
That's true. I have to say I came from a larger high school, about 2,400 students. That's where I taught for 10 years as an English teacher. Also started my admin career. So getting to Morro Bay with, you know, 800 something students, it's just very refreshing, and it's nice, Jeff and I always talk about, it's just nice to be able to get into the classrooms, see the students. You know, during a lunch period, there's one lunch, we can make our rounds and say hi to every single student on campus, which is what's so great about that kind of small town community feel that we have going on. So thank you for this opportunity.
Yes, and I think one of the exciting things was after our Equity Day on Wednesday, I feel like our staff really came back and embraced that and talked about how we're opening doors for our students. And like Ryan mentioned, I think that was one of the things that we really wanted to focus on is how do we connect with each and every one of our students every day and open those doors. So that was one idea that came with a CHOP, and it was just so neat to see the students and even on social media, seeing parents going, we found the name, and posting their picture next to their name, and kids just running up the first day and like, there's your name, there's my name. And so just finding that connection, I think, has just been so neat. And then myself as well, just being out there and meeting all the new students and the funny, you know, comments that now you're the principal, can we bring candy to school? And, you know, we're flip-flops now. And so seeing, you know, where all of that lies. So it's just been so great to connect and see how we can really open those doors for our students this year.
I guess for me, I love the coast. I've always lived in landlocked states, and so this is my first opportunity to live on the coast. But the kids are amazing at Morro Bay. Being able to, like she said, with such a smaller population, I had 2,400 students in my last school as well, and the smaller population and being able to see those kids on a more regular basis, just walking around campus at the football game last Friday night, and being able to make those connections a lot quicker than having to try to filter through 2,400 kids, it's, you know, it's nice to be able to make those quick connections with everybody. So.
Thank you. Thank you. Thanks so much for being here. And same message as the students. We know you have the night and evening.
Thank you.
So continuing my update, we have Senate Bill 1090 that we have more good news around, that it did pass through the Assembly floor with a 55-1 vote. So now it does move on to the governor's office, and we're waiting for his choosing to pass that Senate bill. So we are all kind of in the final steps of that Senate bill and really hoping for a positive outcome for our entire community, including our schools. Equity kickoff, as Mrs. Stevens mentioned, was fabulous. Mr. Mayfield is taking the lead on kind of leading us in our district through what doors to open when it comes to equity. I thank you all so much for attending, and know that school sites have had such an incredible positive response to this and are really taking personal of looking at what can they do as individuals and as as school sites to begin to wrestle with this issue. So that was a great kickoff. Foundation meeting. So we did have our foundation board meeting today at noon. We have just a passionate, excited board, and I thank you, Slice of Jeff Rogers, for choosing to serve on that. And it's a really incredible group of people that are going to begin working hard for our district as a whole and thinking about what they can do to serve our students. So it's an incredible group, proud to be a part of that. And then just finally, just wanted to drop a little thing that the subcommittee, both Mark and Ellen, have worked hard in the board subcommittee around our board policies. And I know we've made great progress when it comes to that, and I really appreciate that work. And just something to think about is that one thing you're going to see a lot of second readings, and one thing that we continue to kind of wrestle with is this balance of wanting to personalize the board policies and make them really work for this district, and also the kind of the dilemma of using the input from Gannett and legal advice that comes from Gannett and not wanting to stray too far from that, because then it creates kind of issues down the road. So just want you to know this is something that the subcommittee continues to kind of wrestle with, and we're navigating it with each one individually, but just wanted you to know that that's something that we continue to look at both sides of that as we look at board policies for this, for the board. I think that's it for me. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Next, we have Measure D update.
So, yeah, a couple of things. We a lot of work got accomplished this summer that we reviewed and discussed at the study session, but, I just want to give kudos to the construction workers and to our staff, Steve Stewart, Mark, Hodel, Rick Stimson, who really, kind of up until Sunday afternoon, were putting up signs and putting gates together and doing everything, and I got Mr. Bonin taking drone shots and showing student pathways so we can put up on the website so we can see how you actually get on the campus, right? Things like that. So, the good news, I would say, is for these poor freshman students that are starting, right, the next 4 years are going to be undergoing a lot of construction on campus, is that hopefully they're going to get to be in the new math building at SoHa, and they're going to hopefully get to be in the new or old gym. We got to come up with new names for our new and old gyms. In the pool and the tennis courts, the new Jamming and Morro Bay. And so they'll at least get to see some of the positive out of Measure D as we go through this process. So I just want to remind people that as we go through, because it's tough. There's a lot. I mean, major construction zone happening while school is trying to happen. So. Just like our poor C.L. Smith teachers had to live through last year when you're literally modernizing an office in the middle of the campus. But now, beautiful, right? So I know Walt and Eric got to kind of see that back to school. And, just for that staff and kids and parents to be able to take pride in campus and the way it looks, it's very nice to see that now as a finished project. So I'm excited about the future with that. And I got to scare you last Thursday, right, with all of our budget talk with Measure D. And so, again, same thing, in that we are, just so you know, on a daily basis looking for ways to do as much as we can and maximize our Measure D dollars. So Ron, myself, Chris today actually came up with a very good solution, talked over to Morro Bay High, saved a couple $1 million on that campus just today in some of our talks. So it's just a constant dialogue. There's something that we're going to ask the board to vote on tonight about taking over the insurance premiums, and that alone is about a $25,000 savings on one project. And so thanks to Kelly Lee, our fiscal analyst for Measure D, who came up with that idea and called CISC and kind of did the background work so that we could get to this point. So there's just trying to do whatever we can as we go through. So we will have a follow-up to that meeting. Where we'll, have a more detailed discussion about where we're at, where we're headed, where we're going. So last meeting was just kind of a, here's where we're at currently, and we'll, again, that's going to be a constant conversation from now until we're completed with the projects.
Thank you, and thanks to everyone who's doing a good job of keeping their eye on the bottom line here. All right, moving on to item 8.01 is our biennial review of conflict of interest code.
Hi, yes, we are supposed to every other year look at our conflict of interest code and update it and make sure that it matches what's in the regulations of the Fair Political Practices Commission. What we have done is completed the appendix, which shows who the code filers are. And as you can see, we have combined the director of elementary instructional services and secondary into one position. We have changed the director of personnel services to the human resources director. And then we have added the title of personnel commissioner. We need to have a public hearing on this item. 30 days thereafter, we provide the information to the county. And then 30 days after that, it goes into effect.
I will now open the public hearing on this matter, the Biennial Review of Conflict of Interest Code. Is there anyone from the public who would like to address us on this? Seeing none, I will close the public hearing, and this will appear at our next meeting. All right, thank you. Next, item 9.01, we have a resolution. We have a series of resolutions. Ryan, start with 9.01 and go to 9.04.
Yeah, there's actually three things we're going to ask the board to do tonight for some projects that have been completed. So one is the notice of completion, which will be found on the consent agenda later tonight. And then there's actually a resolution that the board has to approve, and then an actual act, which will be in the discussion action portion for each of these projects. And so basically this is the steps that we have to take to now complete the lease-leaseback agreement. So where we've leased the land, they've modernized it, they've constructed on it, and now we're taking it back. So it's kind of the quick claim deed as well as ending that lease so that we can make our final payments, we can occupy the property. That way, in terms of in the future, any types of property searches or those things will show that it's in our name, and we'll go through that process. So tonight, the first one is for the Morro Bay High School old gym. So a resolution to terminate the lease as well as quit claim the property.
Is there anyone from the public who would like to address the board on this matter? We'll bring it back to the board for any discussion or any motion. Oh, that's right. We're
going to
move these down then. Yes, please.
So just so everyone understands, these are the items that we covered in detail at the Measure D study session last Thursday.
Yes, we did.
So it looks like a whole lot of stuff happening really fast, but it didn't happen that fast on Thursday. It was an appropriate amount of time.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Thank you for pointing out these. We discussed them now. So we'll move on to the Morro Bay High School track and field lease back.
Don't we need to do a motion?
I think we still need to pass the resolution.
Okay, well then it's also appearing. Yes.
So the action consent is just the notice of completion. So
okay,
in order,
so
the process to end the lease-leaseback, we have to do the resolution.
Okay. Oh. All right.
Then during discussion action, we have to take action on that matter, and then the notice of completion is consent. So we do need the board to act on each of the resolutions.
And just to tag on to Mr. Millar's statement about our discussion about these items, we had our regular study session meeting last week. It's an open meeting, open to anyone who cares to attend those meetings and either raise concerns or learn what's going on with all of our instruction. So having said that, then I will come back to 9.01 and ask for a motion on the resolution regarding the Morro Bay High School gym termination of leases with that.
So I'll move approval of resolution number 01-18-19, Morro Bay High School Old Gym Modernization.
Second.
We have a first by Mrs. Roger and a second by Mr. Millar. Mrs. Kemp.
Yep.
Mrs. Roger?
Yes.
Mr. Millar?
Yes.
Mrs. Sheffer?
Yes.
Dr. Eisendrath Rogers?
Yes.
Jim, Mr. Quesenberry?
Yes.
And Mr. Buckman?
Yes.
Okay, passes 6-0.
Thank you. All right, next is the resolution regarding the Morro Bay High School track and field.
So same track and field project as our student today kind of alluded to. The track project is complete. And so tonight we're, again, closing that lease, filing the quitclaim deed, and so a two-step process, first the resolution, then the action laid on the board agenda.
I move approval of resolution 9.02, number 02181, measure D, Morro Bay High School track.
Do we have a second? Mr. Buckman? Anyone from the public wishing to address us on this resolution? Hearing none, we have a motion by Mr. Quesenberry, a second by Mr. Buckman. Mrs. Campbell.
Mr. Quesenberry?
Yes.
Mr. Buckman?
Yes.
Mr. Millar?
Yes.
Mrs. Roger?
Yes.
Mrs. Sheffer?
Yes.
Dr. Eisendrath Rogers?
Yes.
Motion passes 6-0.
All right. Our next resolution has to do with C.L. Smith office expansion.
Yeah, so again, same. We completed the office modernization, finished the fencing around the campus there. It looks beautiful. I think everybody we've talked to has been very excited about it. So tonight we want to conclude that termination of the lease and make the steps that we need to make to terminate the leases. The first one is the resolution tonight.
Anyone from the public on this resolution? Do you have a motion?
I'm thinking there might be an issue with the connection between this and here.
That's why I want to speak.
And it hasn't started working.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
We have a motion by Dr. Eisendrath Rogers, a second by Mr. Quesenberry.
Absolutely. No.
Dr. Eisendrath Rogers, Mr. Quesenberry,
yes.
Mrs. Sheffer,
yes.
Mr. Buckman,
yes.
Mr. Millar,
yes.
Mrs. Rogers,
that button.
Passes 6-0.
Way to mix it up. All right. And then finally, we have a resolution with regard to temporary borrowings between funds. Mrs. Lynn.
Good evening. As you know, we rely very heavily on our property taxes for our general fund revenues, and property taxes come in December and April, which means there's a long period between July and November that we have to cover our expenses based on our prior year's ending balance. So there's always a possibility that in November we may need to do a temporary loan to cover our expenses until our property taxes come in. We also have a situation in our food services fund where it's a reimbursement situation, so they're expending money before they actually get reimbursed for it, so it's just a potential for that in the food services fund as well. So we recommend that the board pass this resolution for 18-19, giving staff the approval to make temporary loans between funds.
And this is not an unusual request, nor an unusual situation.
No, and we've been very fortunate that we haven't really had to do that much because we've always had a good ending balance, and we still do, but it's always a possibility.
Thank you. Anyone from the public wishing to address us? Seeing none, I will look for a motion.
I'll move approval of resolution 04-18-19. Temporary borrowings between funds.
We have a motion by Mrs. Roger, a second by Mr. Millar. Mrs. Campbell.
Mrs. Roger?
Yes.
Mr. Millar?
Yes.
Mr. Buckman?
Yes.
Dr. Eisendrath Rogers?
Yes.
Mrs. Sheffer?
Yes.
Mr. Quesenberry?
Yes.
Resolution passes 6-0.
All right. Next, we have our
discussion action items, and we have Jennifer O'Hagan here up to share with us information about the Techie Boot Camp.
Yes. I'm glad we got the technology working.
Yes.
Welcome to my world, though. So I'm here tonight to share with you out our Techie Highlight, our Techie Boot Camp highlights from 2018 summer. We are fortunate to be able to provide this to support our LCAP focus area 4 and 5, technology and innovation and the use of data. Well, technical difficulties. Will you forward it for me? Thanks. Okay. So boot camp this year was held at Teach Elementary School. Approximately 75 teachers attended. Based on our LCAP goals, we offered workshops covering online assessments, which provide our teachers and students with more immediate data and results. We also offered workshops on using collaborative tools, the 4 C's, with both staff and teachers, as well as using technology to personalize instruction across the content areas. New this year, we included a session specific to our resource special ed teachers that covered assistive technology, and it was titled Computers Can Read Out Loud. So teachers had the opportunity to explore software that would support our identified students with disabilities and how to leverage our own software and devices like our Chromebooks and iPads and use our apps to better support our students that may need help in accessing the curriculum. Okay, we'll go to the next slide. All right, and Luana's going to click on this link. This is a look at some of the resources that were provided by our amazing SLCUSD presenters. So they posted their handouts and their, you can kind of just click that little X that says turn. Yeah, there we go. That's fine. So she's going to just scroll through. You don't have to click on anything, Luana. But these are actual presentations that house the presentations that were part of the Techie Boot Camp. They have tutorial videos, handouts, everything that the teachers could want in regards to their presentations. And we made this Google shared folder available to our attendees. And I've also posted it on the EdTech website for all SLC USD staff and teachers to access. All right. So at the conclusion of our Techie Boot Camp, we did a little survey and got some feedback. And this is just these are just some screenshots of the responses from our survey of participants. So you can see that overall the workshops were relevant to the audience. And the majority of them would definitely attend another boot camp in the future. Here on the bottom left here, I want to point out the one with Stephen Kirsten. That's a PE teacher right there, an elementary PE teacher. So I was really happy to see such a diverse group of teachers participate this year. So there's something for everyone. So on our next slide, in the margins on this slide, I put some additional comments from teachers and feedback that you can see. Note that someone said it was life-changing for them, so that was, I wanted to share that part with you.
Awesome.
Yeah, we're doing great. So again, they really like the detailed handouts and videos to support their presentations. It's just very positive, all of the feedback that I received. We also asked what type of follow-up would they want to see. Teachers wanted an additional, like an ST Math refresher in the fall, and ST Math is a new program that we've spread out to the rest of our elementary sites. It's been currently utilized on the coast, but all of our elementary sites are accessing it now. So we did have a workshop at Techie Boot Camp, and they wanted a follow-up. Kinder and first grade teachers are asking for workshops on how to incorporate tech into primary classrooms. Teachers were asking for more Google workshops, more workshops around Illuminate, more time to explore and set up, such as their Google Classroom, their websites, and more one-on-one help. So during our August PD days, just last week, we were able to provide follow-up for all of the areas I just mentioned. So we will continue to empower our EdTech leads and our other Techie lead teachers so that they may continue to provide site-based support throughout the year. So I'd like to choose to close the presentation with a brief highlight video from our 2018 Summer Techie Boot Camp. So let's notes. Hopefully the sound will work.
This.
Yay! Photo. So, any questions? I know Mark has a question. Yes.
So, I missed it if you said it, but so we do the BrightByte survey, mm-hmm. and we always have the teachers respond, and there's some things that they always ask for. So, I'm wondering, were you able to address some of those issues?
Yes.
This summer?
Yeah. And so, what we did is we tied our Bright Bites to our LCAP goals, and then we looked at those LCAP goals, and I talked with the presenters, and we developed workshops around those goals, among others. Yeah.
Great.
Mm-hmm.
Jim, go ahead. I have just two quick others.
Yeah.
And so we've the president's wife recently today reminded us about courtesy on using social media. And I wondered if there was some component that's being used when you were working with staff, something that'll be shared with the students. Social media courtesy.
Courtesy on
social
media.
Civility.
Okay, so are you asking if we addressed that?
Yeah.
We didn't have social media workshop at Techie Bootcamp this time around, but I try to, when I do my digital citizenship and things like that always comes up. So that's always part of what we talk about. Even when we're talking about websites, we did a workshop on websites and talking about posting things and how it you can't take it back and how that affects people. It's like so we're definitely always, it's not necessarily a separate workshop, but we're always including that when we can.
And so does that for staff to use adult to adult, or do they share that then with students in the classroom?
What part? You mean the
learning to communicate?
Oh, both. Absolutely,
okay,
both.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes.
Thanks.
Uh-huh.
And then just last, the internet's so easy to just cut and paste something. So
yes.
Is there a discussion about copyright infringement?
Yes, that actually comes up. I'm putting together some things for our principals to share out in their newsletters, and it comes from our digital citizenship program that we use. And there are these family handouts that we, and one of them, actually I was looking at it yesterday, I selected does cover that. Google also has some things that are built in, and so I'm always trying to encourage teachers and show them where those are built in so that we avoid any copyright issues when we're posting things. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mr. Quisenberg.
Well, I just noticed a number of different typing devices there. I saw tablets and laptops mm-hmm. and smartphones. Can you comment a lot on how each one can be utilized or how the teachers were utilizing them?
Yeah. We saw the smartphones with Stephen Kirsten. So what he did is he had people use their smartphones I wasn't in all of the workshops, but he had people use their smartphones to scan things, and then that would pop up. It was a QR code that looks like that black and white checkery box thing, and you can scan and utilize that so that the presentation or whatever you want to present pops up on the person's device. There's lots of different ways to use that. So that's nice because not everybody wants to lug a big laptop. We provided devices, but not everybody wants to bring those. So some people just want to show up with their phone. So we try to leverage as much as we can with devices. With having the Google Apps makes it really easy because it works on pretty much any device pretty seamlessly. So, I mean, I'm using an iPad right now just to read because it's bigger. My eyes are going. So I'm reading and looking at the slides here, I created my presentation for you on a PC. Yeah,
thank
so.
You.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Anyone else? Mrs. Roger.
Thank you. I just wondered, the presentation was really geared to programs that gen ed teachers would use.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if there was anything specific to special education.
Yes. Yeah, I touched on that earlier in the presentation. So we actually knew this year we had a presentation specifically for special ed teachers. And I think, she's already pulled it down. And it was done by Debbie Vandenberg. And it was how to make, I think if you go back, I don't have anything up there. I think it's just
That's
here
okay.
in my notes. But we did have one specific to special ed. And it was called Computers Can Read Aloud. I don't know if you... It was around assistive technology. So helping students with identified needs that may struggle with hearing the computer, reading. She showed them some apps and things that would allow them to access it. That are audio, uh-huh, yeah.
Okay.
And so we repeated that for our secondary PD day because I had a lot of good feedback. So we had her out again for our teachers at the secondary PD day last week. Yeah.
Okay. And then someone approached me this week about computers for prepare students. But I'm wondering, as we move to one-to-one devices, are we providing devices for special education students across the board in the district? That might be a question for Mrs. Frost or Mr. Mayfield. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't think I can answer that. But we are providing them for gen ed, and we also have checkouts and things like that. So we do have devices available, but specifically set aside for special ed. Diane might need to address that.
Okay.
I can just really quickly answer that, and we do offer our sites, if they offer technology to their general education students, like at Los Osos Middle School, at Morro Bay High School, our special education students receive those also. And then from our department, for some of our more intensive classes, we are offering iPads for classroom use, and that's outside of the use of an individual child, just so that there are iPads for use in the classroom. So, yes, we do have technology available.
Terrific. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Anyone else? Anyone from the public? All right. Thank you.
Thanks
for that
Thank
presentation.
You.
All right. Next is agenda item 10.02, summer programs. Mr. Mayfield, welcome.
Good evening. I'm Rick Mayfield, Director of Learning and Achievement. It takes me a minute to say that. I have to get used to that title, but it's an absolute honor to serve the board, the district, and the students and families of our district in that capacity. And I want to thank Dr. Prater, Mr. Pinkerton, and Mrs. McGrath for this opportunity. I'm going to share with you tonight a couple of presentations. The first one is on our summer experience. It's part of our LCAP Focus 2. All identified student groups will achieve substantial gains through a multi-tiered system of support. If you could go to the next slide. The first thing I'd like to share is we had a summer food program that was very successful this year. 15,138 breakfast and 17,500 approximately lunches were served to any student in our community 18 years or younger, including our own, of course, summer school students. It was a federally funded program through the USDA, And it was done at 9 different sites, including San Luis Obispo Library and Morro Bay Library as well. I also included a link at the bottom of the presentation, if you'd care to look at that at some other time. It's a New Times article about the food program, and it's quite interesting. The numbers are a little bit low because they were still being served. Lunches and breakfast were still being served when I put the presentation together. So next slide, Luana. Our elementary program took place at 4 different sites, though there were many more sites that were involved. We doubled up at sites. It was at Hawthorne Elementary, Baywood, Smith, and Pacheco. Next slide. We had 423 elementary students participating. As you can see from the graph on the left-hand side, about 66% were EL or former EL, RFEP, and about 34% non-EL. And then on the right-hand side, about 76% of our participants were socioeconomically disadvantaged. Next slide. Research shows that one of the big things that occurs in summer is what we call the summer slide. So when students are not reading on a regular basis, that really affects their reading achievement when they start up the new year now in August. So that's a big focus of summer. Reading occurs in different formats. A reader's workshop on the top right there, independent reading, of course, buddy reading, and electronic reading. We read a lot of books. About 6,700 books were read independently, 875 digitally, and about 3,300 interactive. Teacher reading. It gives students an opportunity. When teacher reads the text, it gives students an opportunity to participate in texts that might be higher than their own reading level, but it's on grade level. So interactive reading is a very important part of our literacy program. So altogether, we read about 11,000 books, which is a lot of books. I know some people haven't read 11,000 books in their life. Writer's Workshop. Next slide, please, Juana. Writer's Workshop is also an important part of the language arts curriculum, and it's a continuation. They have enough time in the summer program to teach one unit of the Lucy Calkins writing units of study. Also, math and science is a big focus. And on the left there, they had a guest come to Hawthorne to do some math and science activities with the students that were very popular. We had 2 specialty programs. Pacheco has a science camp in conjunction with Cal Poly, in which 40 students participate free of charge to them. Cal Poly does open it up to other school districts after the week that Pacheco is there, but it's at a cost of about $500 per student for the week. So it's tremendous. Certificated instructors, professors from Cal Poly, students do hands-on science during the day, and then in the afternoon, they get to go around with college students and visit the campus and talk about going to college. They also have a chat with them about funding, and then it culminates with a dinner on Friday night where the families are invited. They're on campus, and they share some of the activities they did during the week. And we've been doing that for a long time. They have been doing that for a long time. We also had a program called Camp Thrive at Baywood, which was a partnership between the YMCA and San Luis Coastal. It's an all-day program. The students attended the regular summer school program in the morning and then the Camp Thrive in the afternoon, and each week they would do a field trip at the end of the week, and a lot of them were thematic-based field trips. There were 38 students in 4th and 5th grades that attended. And it was highly successful. We're still compiling the reading scores because we did some before and after assessment for Camp Thrive, and we'll share those with you when we have them. But what I've seen so far looks really good, solid for that. I also want to share with you that Adult School has had some activity over the summer. They just finished a 2-year cycle for high school diploma and high school equivalency classes. They had 75 students graduate in June, which is just awesome. 40 with a high school diploma at the SLO campus, 7 with high school equivalency, 17 with a diploma at the county jail, and 11 with the high school equivalency. So a great job by Sally and the adult school staff. Middle school did 3 2-week sessions. It was about 30 students per session. So we served between 160 and 180 students at the middle school level. Those were incoming 6th to 8th graders, very engaged and connected staff. They focused on basic skills, but with hands-on learning. So there was aquatics. They did a trip to the aquarium at Los Osos Middle School. culinary arts took place with both schools, entrepreneurship at Laguna, and theater production. The culinary arts, they even entered the cupcakes in the fair. It looks like that's first place there on the left-hand side. I'm not sure if that's Laguna or Los Osos, but they entered it. They had an invention project. The unit modules are from the National Inventors Hall of Fame, and that's the next slide. Luana, I'm sorry. Jumping ahead to you. And that was also, those kits were funded out of the LCAP as well. Next slide, please. There's the aquatics. I believe those are sharks, shark offspring. Thank you. There are shark eggs and mermaid purses. Thank you very much, Mr. Quisenberry. Next slide. So the themes, they had engineering and business as a theme, but of course dealt with math, reading, and writing within that, and same with culinary. In math, the students worked with recipes, doing fractions, reading recipes, and so they integrated the subjects into those themes. Next slide. They're actually working here. They're judging the food that the students have produced. So engaging, caring, and apparently hungry staff. That's Mandy Lincoln on the left and Christiana Peters on the right. The high school experience, three high schools. Morro Bay High School took place at Los Osos Middle School because of construction. A Slow High School at Laguna, and then Pacific Beach at, of course, Pacific Beach. And students did a farm activity out there as well. There were three different formats in the high school program: traditional, virtual, and project-based. And then there were three A to G credit options for these students: a credit recovery, grade recovery, and original credit. At the comprehensive high schools, they had traditional and virtual format, and that just depends on the students' needs. Some students like that structure of attending school every day, being there in the classroom in front of a teacher, and so that works for them. And there were about 130 of those different individual students who attended traditional summer school, and then virtually 330 students participated. And it was quite a jump from last year and took us a little bit by surprise, but the students were accommodated. Next slide, thank you. So the course is completed. The numbers don't add up because sometimes students take two courses during the summer program. So traditionally, 208 courses were completed, and virtually 504. You can see the numbers up there. A lot of units were earned by students at the high school level over the summer. The 506 virtual was up from 350 the year before. So, you know, quite a few more students participated in that. Student feedback, next slide, please, Lana. Thank you. There were only 83 respondents, so this is not everyone who attended high school, summer school. But of the 83 respondents, about 81% said it was pretty good or excellent. And for summer school, for a high school student, for 80% to say pretty good or excellent, I think that's good feedback. Next slide shows that the class was just about the right size. Almost 95% said that, and then 90% said they would sign up for the online format again. So pretty smooth there. Pacific Beach High School, there were 10 that were initially enrolled, 8 completed. There were 12 credits given per student, so 96 credits were earned there. And they had hands-on sustainable agriculture with English, social studies, science, and math embedded. Okay, so to conclude, a highly successful food program. Aaron Primer did a great job on working with different agencies for that. In elementary, we had a focus on English language arts, of course, reading, writing, math, and science, hands-on, and two successful specialty programs. Middle school, the focus was on English language arts, and integrated subjects, but also creating comfort level for incoming students. You know, that transition from sixth grade to seventh grade is a big one, and it's good to give kids an opportunity to get comfortable in the new environment. And then at high school, we had original and credit recovery, online, traditional, and project-based learning formats. Great.
Thank you. I have a question.
Sure.
With the a number of meals served, and you indicated that was in participation with USDA, was that a grant funded, or was that something that was offered nationally? Or,
you know, honestly, I do not know. I would have to ask Aaron Primer.
Okay.
That question. Yeah.
Right.
Thank you.
It was actually throughout the state. So a state-funded, federally funded program that we tied into, and it was a huge success.
Yeah, no, it
so it actually.
Amazing. So it was you applied, and then you got it. Okay.
And so being able to serve those meals at different sites as well. So it actually, the food service budget was helped dramatically by the number of meals we served this summer. It was a good program, win-win for everyone.
Yeah. And it was about a week before the program culminated when I got the figures. So they're probably.
It's a lot of meals.
A lot of meals. Yeah. It's great.
Thank you. Yeah. Anyone else from the board? Mr. Buckman?
Right. So I have a real quick question first. So I've never thought about this. So when the students are in summer school, did they? And this looks like it's mostly thematic, so this question may be too old school, but do they mostly take their past year's grade level, or are they looking at their future grade
The future level? Grade level.
Future. That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
It's a big jump on when they get. Okay, great. And then I just wanted to point out, so Amy used to point out to us the that among the largest summer slide was among the SED students.
Correct.
And so I noticed on your chart about who was in attendance, and it was primarily SED students. So I just want to kudos for that because we're obviously reaching the correct students.
Absolutely.
I really appreciate that.
Thank you. And we have those discussions in principal meetings ahead of time. These are the students we really need to focus on. Yeah.
Anyone from the public? Anyone else from the board? All right. Thank you, Mr. Mayfield. Thank
Absolutely.
You very much. Right. Our next item is 10.03, equity update.
Oh, that's me as well.
Oh.
And a big motivator for me to apply for this job was the work that we're beginning now in equity. Equity is part of our LCAP 3, which is creating an intentional culture of care. If you go to the next slide. Yes, thank you. So all staff participated in a highly successful kickoff on Wednesday. You were all there and got to participate. From all of the feedback that I have gotten from that time till now, and I have asked everybody that I've come in contact with, it has been nothing but positive feedback on the discussions that took place, not only there at the kickoff day, but also in the debrief activities that occurred afterwards. I participated in a couple with classified staff, and they were excellent, really good insights and different conversations than we've had in the past. So all 859 of our employees attended. We had Trudy Tuttle-Arriaga present on opening doors and equity. What does that look like in a school setting? And then Kristen Looney talked to us about civil dialogue, such an important thing nowadays. Both of these presenters we're going to be working with over a period of time. And then, as I mentioned, all staff participated in a debrief activity following the opening. So very positive preliminary feedback from staff. We're developing a 3 to 5 year plan. In fact, we're working on it, coming up a draft this Friday. We've been working on it over several meetings already. We're working with the consultants to develop this plan and different groups, including our district equity team. We're taking a two-pronged approach. We're going to deepen our understanding of equity. So in staff meetings, in discussions, in trainings that we have, we're going to be talking about equity, reading articles, doing book studies, and deepening our understanding of equity, while at the same time continuing to focus on the data that makes a big difference in kids' lives every day. So those two things are really important. This is not just an intellectual activity. We're going to continue to look at data and to make decisions that positively impact students and their achievement within the district. We're forming an equity team, and the district equity team will have input into our plan moving forward. Year one will include a lot of training for staff, and we're discussing now who that might include, an administrator, perhaps a classified, a certificated staff member from each site that will begin that work. And then years 2 to 5 will involve training students and teachers in the practicality of civil dialogue. What does that look like in the classroom, training kids on civil dialogue? Okay. We're also going to host a AXA. AXA is the Association of California School Administrators, and they do academies all up and down the state. They're very high-quality academies, and we're going to host one here in J2 called an Equity Institute. It'll be 7 Fridays beginning in September, running through April. I think we skip December, perhaps. But it's 7 Fridays between September and April. And then the LCAP is supporting 10 of our equity team members to participate in that, and we're excited. Last year, we funded, I think, 4 or 5 staff members to attend the Equity Institute off campus, and we thought we could get a lot more in if we hosted it here ourselves. So that's what we're doing. And then we're creating a district equity team. It's representatives from all different levels, elementary, middle, high school, classified. We're looking for students to put on there as well. We have some, as I mentioned, community members, and the consultants met with the equity team on August 15th. And we would like to add 2 board members to that equity team. And so tonight, I don't know if you'd want to do it tonight, but tonight I ask you if you can select 2 board members to be a part of our equity team moving forward.
Would you like us to do that right now?
That's up to you.
All right. I would be interested in nominating Mrs. Roger to serve on the equity update as one of our board members. Mr. Millar has provided a second.
So, no, I provided a second
for her nomination. So this is... Oh, all right. Okay. And then
that's a particular area of interest for me, so I would be happy to participate in that.
I know it's something you've been deeply interested in for quite a while.
And I would like to nominate Mark Buckman as a representative to the equity team.
All right. And I would support that nomination. So is this something we vote on? Do we do this formally? I think in the past we've just agreed.
It's just a thumbs up.
So as long as Mr. Buckman, are you willing, able, ready to so serve?
Yeah.
All right. Looks like you've got your take a note. You've got your members.
I got it.
All right.
Wonderful. Thank you very much.
You.
And I'll be in touch as to our next activity. Thank you.
Oh, that was the end of your presentation.
Yes.
All right. Thank you. Okay. I've got many things going on here. All right. Back to board docs. Our next item is 10.04, our reduced meal charge waiver request. And thank you, Mr. Pinkerton.
So for those who don't know, there's actually 2 levels of free and reduced lunch. So that's why they call free and reduced. For students that qualify, there's no charge under the free category. But we also have many, many students that don't qualify for the free but have to pay 30 cents for breakfast or 40 cents for lunch. And so in talking with our food service director, looking at the overall budget, and, you know, thinking about diversity, equity with kids, you know, is that 30 cents, is that 40 cents holding kids back from participating in our free and reduced lunch program? As a district, we pay about 75 cents for breakfast in terms of cost for us, and we get back $1.49. So whenever we have a free reduced lunch price meal. And then for lunch, the cost is about $1.50, and we get reimbursed about, you know, $3. So in looking at the overall program, you know, Erin set out, she talked to a lot of the school districts around the county in terms of what do they do, how's this working, functioning, because we do have some districts that have stopped charging reduced price meals for students and made them all free. Basically, if you're reduced, you don't have to pay the 30 or 40 cents. And what they've seen is they've seen an increase in participation rates. And because of that, the amount that you lose with the 30 or 40 cents becomes negligible. So I think it's for us, it also opens the pathway potentially to getting more and more students to turn in their free and reduced lunch applications. Now maybe I'm just going to be reduced. I don't want to pay anyway, so I'm not going to do it. So, and we're at that kind of place. We're at 39% as a school district in terms of kids that are qualifying. So if we can get that number up a little bit and get those kids to participate in our free and reduced lunch program, it'll open up a lot of doors for us financially in terms of grants and other things as well. So there's a lot of positive things that could happen. And all we're asking the board to do is to allow those students that would be reduced lunch students to not have to pay the 30 or 40 cents. So at the end of the school year, we'll look at the numbers, we'll break it all down for you, we'll see what the actual impact is. But we honestly think that we're going to, if not break even, potentially make more money for the Food Service program by making this change.
So this sounds like a win-win situation.
Yes.
All right. That's what we want for our kids. Mrs. Roger.
Thank you. It really does sound like a win-win. And when you look at 30 cents and 40 cents, it seems like so little money. But if you're a family that's watching every dollar and you have four students in school, that money adds up, and it may become prohibitive. So I fully support this, and I wonder how we plan to get the word out.
So we've waiting tonight to have the final decision from the board go through. We're already, working with parents, talking to them about it, that after tonight, we're going to let them know for sure kind of what's happening, what's moving forward. And from Aaron's standpoint, the phone calls they're taking, people are just relieved. So those parents are relieved with the fact they may not have to, even pay the 30 or 40 cents. So I think it's just a win-win as we move forward. Again, we talk about open doors and, for students that don't have to pay, they can go through line, can get their lunch. I'm hoping that more kids eat because of this. And so it's just a positive thing all around.
It also seems like as though it could perhaps alleviate some paperwork, paper shuffling, collection of funds and tracking and all that kind of thing.
It could.
Yeah. All right. Any further discussion? Mrs. Roger.
Sorry, one more thing. I think that we're seeing increased lunch participation due in large part to the work of Aaron Primer.
Absolutely.
And the fact that the food that we're serving our students is delicious now, as opposed to the hamburgers I got as a kid that you had to put the potato chips in them to give them any crunch or, any flavor at all. So I don't want to let this moment pass without saying that, thanking Erin Primer for all of her efforts to bring really healthy, wholesome food and tasty food to our students.
Well, she's definitely turned around the food service budget over the past 2 years. I mean, we were on a down slope, spending all of our reserves going down, and finally, I think this year, we were kind of shocked that where they ended the year and that we finally kind of made that. So I just expect it to get better and better over time. So really excited to kind of see our numbers, kind of share this good news with kids, get more kids to participate and spread that word. So
thank you for pointing out Aaron's contributions, Mrs. Roger. All right, anyone from the public on this topic? All right. This is under the discussion action portion of our program, so I believe we do need to take a vote on the reduced meal charge waiver request. Mr. Millar.
I would move approval of the reduced meal charge waiver as requested.
All right, we have a motion by Mr. Millar, a second by Mr. Quessenberry. All in favor?
Aye.
Motion passes 6-0 with Mr. Unger's absence. Our next item is 10.05, Pacific Beach High School letter of exemption for provision 2.
So Pacific Beach High School has such a high rate of free and reduced lunch that they qualify for this exemption 2. But what we found is that and they're the only school. So the rest of our district does not apply to it. So Erin is doing her homework and looking at things, it's actually we're worse off by doing the exemption 2 than by doing what she has asked here today, and that is to waive the exemption 2 provision and just do our normal free and reduced lunch count, have kids turn in their applications. The reduced lunch will apply now to all those students at Pacific Beach as well. So it's just a better process for us as a school district by not using that exemption.
Any discussion by the board? Anyone from the public? All right. And this again needs action by us tonight.
Yes.
All right. I would request a motion with regard to the Pacific Beach High School letter of exemption.
And I would move approval of the Pacific Beach High School letter of exemption for provision 2.
We have a motion by Mrs. Rogers, second by Dr. Catherine Eisenrath Rogers. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries 6-0. All right. Don't go anywhere, Mr. Pinkerton.
And here I am. Next few items.
All right. 10.06, Measure D, amendment to the lease-leaseback contract with Acme Construction.
So as I discussed earlier, and we talked about it at our study session on Thursday, we're trying to find any way possible of saving funds, right, and trying to lower our costs with Measure D. So fortunately, Kelly Lee, our fiscal analyst for our bond measure program, kind of talked with CISC, our insurance carrier, and found that it would be much cheaper for the district to carry its own builder's risk coverage than it is to what we're currently paying our contractor for the same exact insurance coverage. So our insurance remains the same, still covered, going through the process. But by us doing it, it's much more inexpensive through our carrier. So, for example, Kelly just looked up. So the pool project, San Luis Obispo High School, we were going to pay $30,000 for the insurance for builder's risk. For that, through CISC, it's $5,000. So just that one project alone is about $25,000 in savings. So you take that across all of our future projects with design build and the rest of our lease-leaseback projects, and it's quite a substantial savings that, again, is going to help us as we try to complete as much as we can with these Measure D dollars. So tonight I'm asking the board to amend the lease-leaseback agreement for the San Luis Obispo High School pool and fields project. And what you'll see is as these come up, for the ones that are currently already under contract, we'll be adding amendments to do this to those. And then our new projects that will come up through design build and those will have it built in to the GMP and to the contracts as we move forward. So tonight I'm asking the board to approve this amendment 3 to the pool and fields to allow the district to take over the insurance coverage for that project for builder's risk.
Anyone from the public here to address this? I would request, Mr. Pinkerton, that you please pass along to Kelly Lee our appreciation for her efforts in this
regard.
It's
a team effort, for sure.
Yes, yeah. All right. This is an action item. Is there a motion with regard to 10.06?
Yeah, I'll move approval of the Measure D Amendment Number 3 to the lease-leaseback contract with Acme Construction for the San Luis High School pool and fields.
I'll second that. We have a motion by Mr. Quesenberry and a second by me. All in favor?
Aye.
And motion carries 6-0. 10.07, another Measure D topic, C.L. Smith office expansion.
So again, the two-step process, one was the resolution, now it's the actual agreement itself. So this is the agreement that we go through. It has to be notarized to terminate the lease as well as the quitclaim deed of the property back.
Any board discussion? Anyone from the public? We need a motion, please, with regard to this.
I'll move approval of the termination agreement and quitclaim deed for C.L. Smith office expansion lease-leaseback project.
We have a motion by Mr. Millar, second by Dr. Eisendrath Rogers. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries 6-0.
Same thing for the old gymnasium project at Morro Bay High School. It looks beautiful. Hopefully you had the opportunity to see it with our guest speakers the other day. We had the whole staff there. And so this is, again, the agreement itself to terminate the lease and to do the quitclaim agreement.
Any discussion? Anyone from the public? We need a motion, please, with regard to 10.08.
I move approval of item 10.08, Measure D, Morro Bay High School Old Gym Modernization.
I'll second.
Good.
We have a motion by
That's
Mr.
Good.
Buckman, a second by me. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries 6-0.
So the last one is the termination of lease agreement as well as quit claim for the Morro Bay High School track and field. I will tell the board that our plan is to do a grand opening of that facility at the homecoming game at Morro Bay High School. So we'll be setting that up, inviting the board to attend, and kind of doing a ceremony as they begin the game. So excited about that, working with the school site. Of course, very excited about the new field and track.
Great. Thank you. Any discussion? Anyone from the public? Motion, please.
Move approval of Measure D, Morro Bay High School track and field, termination of lease with Acme Construction.
And I'll second.
Motion by Dr. Eisendrath Rogers, second by Mrs. Roger. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Motion carries 6-0. All right, that's the end of Measure D for this section, but we do have 10.10 certification with regard to temporary athletic coaches.
Yes, so Title V requires that at the first regular board meeting of the year that we certify that our coaches show competence and knowledge in four areas, care and prevention of injuries, coaching techniques, rules and regulations of the sport, and child psychology as it's related to the students' ages of the students they work with. So these letters are showing you which coaches have been certified for the fall season, and then you'll see this again in the winter and the spring.
Thank you. Any board discussion? Anyone from the public? All right, we need a motion with regard to the certification of the temporary athletic coaches for the fall sports season.
I'll move approval or acceptance of the certification for the temporary athletic coaches for the 2018-19 fall sports season.
Second. All right, we have a motion by, you're quite the team over there. We have a motion by Mrs. Yeah. Rogers, second by Mr. Millar. All in favor?
Aye.
All right, carries 6-0.
Madam President, before we move on to the action consent, I'd like to request that we pull items 11.14 through 11.17, and we'll bring them back to the next board meeting. They need to appear in a action part of the agenda rather than a consent part, so we will bring them back to the next meeting. So that's 11.14 through 11.17. They're credential. Waivers.
It's such a difference in our
thank you
action consent. All right, so in 11.11 through, all right, we will do that, and then I am going to hopefully not put everyone to sleep here, but I am going to read our action consent items. So let me know if you would like anything pulled, please. 11.01, approval of certificated and classified personnel items. 11.02, approval of furniture and equipment requests. 11.03, approval of warrants and payroll. 11.04, disposal of surplus. 11.05, approval of purchase orders and Cal Card purchases. 11.06, acceptance of donations. 11.07, approve countywide plan to provide educational services to expelled students. 11.08, approval of field study trip requests. 11.09, reappoint Aaron Rizicki as SLC USD representative to SELPA. I'm sorry if I butchered that name. 11.10, Measure D, approve 4 notices of completion. And then we will table 11.11 to 11.17. Is that correct?
No, you can.
11.4. Oh. What? 17. Okay. Oh, I got mixed up from the beginning. Okay. 11.11. Approval of updated job description, high school activities director. 11.12, approval of updated job description, director of human resources. 11.13, approval of updated job description, high school athletic director. Tabling 11.14 to 11.17. 11.18, proposed revisions to Board Policy 3551, Food Service Operations. Because for the 11.19, proposed revision to Board Policy 3553, Free Reduced Price Meals. And I would note, as I go through these are all second readings. These were all discussed at our study session. 11.20, proposed revisions to Board Policy 4030, Non-Discrimination in Employment. 11.21, rescind Board Policy 4031, Reasonable Accommodation. 11.22, proposed revisions to Board Policies 4111, 4211, 4311, Reasonable Accommodation. 11.23, proposed revisions to Board Policies 4119.11, 4219.11, 4319.11, Sexual Harassment. 11.24, proposed new Board Policy 4119.42, 4219.42, 4319.42, Exposure Control Plan for Bloodborne Pathogens. 11.25, proposed revisions to Board Policies 4158, 4258, 4358, Employee Security. 11.26, proposed new Board Policy 5145.13, Response to Immigration Enforcement. 11.27, proposed new Board Policy 6162.5, Student Assessment. And just to reiterate, those are all second readings. So, at this time, I would like a motion on 11.02, 11.04 through 11.08, 11.10 through 11.13, 11.18 through 11.27.
I move approval of what she said.
We need a second. I don't want to say. Okay, motion by Mrs. Rosher, second by Mr. Quesenberry. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, motion carries 6-0. Mr. Buckman, approval of certificated and classified personnel items.
That's Mr. Quesenberry. It is.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay.
I wrote the wrong initials down.
We have an uncanny similar appearance, but and
get
maybe
you mixed
a voice.
Up
so,
all the time.
Just, I want to commend Kristen and her staff for a monumental task there with all the new hires and with the resignations, reassignments, partial increased assignments, people moving here, moving there. It's really impressive, and I just wanted to also congratulate those classified and certificated staff that have retired, and a little shout out to my former department head, Mrs. Zolnowski, who's surprised me by retiring. So having said all of that, I move approval of item 11.01, approval of certificated and classified personnel items.
And I'd like to second that, but with the addition of noting the retirement of Jack Mitchell,
yes,
who has been a longtime educator in our district, in serving in many different capacities, but retiring from the adult school. So I'll second that motion.
And my daughter's sixth grade teacher.
And Mrs. Sheffer's daughter's sixth grade teacher.
All right, thank you. We have a motion by Mr. Quesenberry, a second by Mrs. Roger. All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries 6-0. 11.03, Mr. Millar.
Yes, I have to recuse myself from this item because Kathleen Millar is employed by PMSM Architects.
All right. Well, then I would move approval of 11.03.
Second.
All right. Second by Mr. Quesenberry. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. This motion carries 5-0 with an abstention by Mr. Millar. All right, 11.09. This time I believe I have the correct initials. Mr. Buckman.
Hi, thank you, Ella. I just pulled this because I want to congratulate Erin. I think we should just pull it off and recognize her for her, I believe it's her second term on the Community Advisory Committee. This is fairly important committee that works with our special ed department through the SELPA, and also just recognize her for being a volunteer who's gone above and beyond to do this. So I'd like to make a motion to approve item 11.09.
Motion by Mr. Buckman, second by Mr. Quesenberry. All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries 6-0. Action on consent. Oh, we just did that. Advance agenda. Anyone have anything for the advance agenda? Mr. Millard.
I'm interested in the impacts of the Janus decision on personnel within the district. I've been reading a little bit in the CSBA publications and ACSA publications. I don't know what format's most appropriate for us, but perhaps Friday packet. So I just thought some of the records keeping requirements and things I'm interested in seeing how that's going to impact our personnel department.
Is there
anybody else?
I would be interested in that as well.
So Friday memo, we'll put something together for Janus.
Thank you.
And its impact.
All right, anything else for advanced agenda? All right, reports by board members. I mean, it's kind of early in the year. No.
Sure.
Two things that come to mind is I think 6 out of the 7 board members attended the new teacher barbecue, and I know some of them probably went to the earlier the training with the staff, and so I think that was pretty impressive. So I think we ought to all pat ourselves on the back, and I think the same 6 board members were able to attend that the equity opening day, and again I think it was really impressive that all of us were there and supporting the staff and administration.
Anything else? All right, we will adjourn at this time. Our next meeting is September 4th. Thank you. I can maybe turn my thing off. Thank you very much.
Oh, that's a marathon meeting. Thank you.
I did a lot of reading in my children. I could have done voices, but no one asked that. I will take some to Michael. Yeah, I'll take some stuff for Michael. He gets my food allowance.